So how's everyone doing this morning? I hope fine. You're here, you're out, and we're going to look into God's Word to see what He has to say to all of us. I was at sick, if you want to call it sickness. I was in the hospital for almost 19 days and didn't understand exactly what had happened. You know, I drove a semi-truck, and they called me morning and said, hey, would you want to go to Detroit and on a quick run? I said, sure. So I got up, no pain, went to Detroit, came back, jumped down out of the truck, took three steps, fell down, could not walk again for almost 19 days. At the hospital, I came home, was able to get in the SUV and lay over and drive. I don't know how I didn't have an accident. Got home, went up the stairs and dragged myself. We have a split level. Went up the stairs, tried to ride it out. I said, maybe it's sciatica or something like that. And so I'm laying in the bath, on the bathroom floor, on the recliner, everywhere. And I told my wife, you're going to have to take me to the hospital. So we get to the hospital and they keep me. And I was in so much pain. I've never been anything like that happened to me before. So I'm in so much pain, and they were giving me medication that did not work. None of it. I had been on oxy and all kind. Nothing worked. And so they said, we're going to move you. I was there long enough and said, we're going to move you to a rehab facility. And I go, well, you don't even know what's wrong with me. But they moved me out and went to this rehab facility. And I was there, and I came across the scripture. I asked the Lord. People were praying for me to be healed and all that stuff, and nothing, there was no healing going on or even relief. And I said, Lord, what is it you want me to know? What is it you want to teach me from this besides I'm a sissy boy when it comes to pain? And so I'm looking for an answer. And I came across Psalm 119, which is my favorite psalm. Matter of fact, my life verse is Psalm 119:9, and it says, how can a young man keep his way clean? By taking heed according to thy word. That's my life verse. I learned it a long time ago. But I read through the song. Somebody asked me, are you going to preach all 176 verses? I go, absolutely. And they start. I'm going to start at verse 1, and by 9:30 tonight, I'll be probably halfway through. I'm not. I came across two verses, and I want to share them with you, and hopefully it'll give you hope and encouragement as it did me in the nursing home. I tell you what's about the nursing home. At night, I had never heard what I heard. I was supposed to be on the rehab side, but they put me in with the general public. And at night, people were screaming because they were in pain. And there was a lady next to me, and if I told you who she was, she passed away. You would know it, but I'm not because of the family. And I wanted to get up and try to help her, but I was unable to get out of the bed. And to listen to her in pain, and nothing could help her. They had me on some drugs that really didn't work until they found gabapentin, which is... It was as bad as the pain because my head was so cloudy in there. But I came across this verse I want to share with you. It's in Psalms 119:9. And if you turn your Bible there, it's Psalm 119:9, 49 and 50. We're only going to look at two verses. These are two powerful verses that I looked at while I was in there, and just God wouldn't leave me alone about it. And I said, okay, well, let's look at it. The first part of it says this. It says, you see it right there. It says, remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. And I'm sitting there looking at this and I'm going, remember your word to your servant where it says you have made me hope. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, we thank you because your word, one, is exciting. Two, it sustains us, Father. And three, it's our only hope. It's your word, which you taught me. And I just Thank you that your word is there when even other things do not work. And so we just ask that you be glorified by the preaching of your word, and the people will have hope and be edified through the preaching of the word, and we will give you the glory which is yours anyway, and we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. So, what I learn and what I see from the scripture is God's word is the foundation of our hope. Do you understand that? Life often brings seasons of suffering, disappointment, uncertainty, and trials. During these difficult moments, believers, me, you, anyone who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ, we need something stronger than feelings, circumstances, or human wisdom. The psalmist points us to the source of lasting hope and comfort, which is the Word of God. In these two verses, we discover how God's promises sustains his people in times of affliction and trouble. So it says God's word, what my first point is the foundation. Without God's word, you have no foundation. You can't pray right if you don't know what God's word says. His will, his ways, his determinations, everything is found in his word. The more you know your word, the more you'll be comforted by it, even when things don't go well. So it's the foundation in Psalms 119:49. He says, remember your servant in which you have made me, remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. The psalmist is not reminding God because God forgets. Rather, he's appealing to God's faithfulness in fullness to fulfill his promises. The phrase, upon which you have made me hope, teaches us that biblical hope originates from God himself. That's where your hope comes from. It's not out there. It's with God himself. God gives promises, and those promises create hope in the hearts of his people. Y'all can say amen. Biblical hope is not wishful thinking. It's the confident expectation based on God's character and his word. So he says, remember your word. Perform it, Lord. Remember your word to your servant. You've made me these promises. God hasn't forgot his promises. He says, just remember these. And so I started looking. I said, well, what other scripture might that go with that? So Joshua 21:45 came to mind, and it says, I wrote the scriptures up there for you. It says, no word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel has failed. They all came to pass. Do you understand that? God's promises will be fulfilled according to his timetable, not ours. But we know one thing. That his word is sure. The more we learn about his word, the more better it is for us. The promises of God are fulfilled. It continues to be fulfilled. It's easier. It's easier when the hope of yet to come. So when you see what God has done in the past, he says to Israel, he says, I fulfilled. This is what I promised to do. Not only does he do that, he does that in the present, and he will do that for Israel in the future. Israel's not done. God's not done with Israel. God's not done with us. What you can bank on and take to the bank is God's word, not anything else. So I'm trying to figure out what do you want me to know? Look what Numbers 23 says. This is, you know, Balaam and Balak. But this is what Balaam said to Balak. God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of a man that he should change his mind. Has he said, he says, has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? This indicates that God will not change something he has decreed or promised. He doesn't change. He has made us exceedingly great promises, amen? And he's going to fulfill them, but it might take some time. He has guaranteed our salvation. Amen? You don't hold on to it. He's guaranteed it. It says in 1 Peter, it's kept for you in heaven. It's undefiled. It cannot be spoiled. That's a promise to us. That those of us who believe Jesus Christ and have put our faith in him will receive that promise. It says on the last day, you'll be raised up. You'll have a new body. I could go on and on and on and on at the promises God has given us. Do you remember them? Because in times and trouble, plain, you forget. We forget. I'm sitting there going, okay, Lord, you're not helping me. Like I was expecting God to just, you know, take the pain away, make me all better. I'm going to walk out of here. But God never promised. That's not one of the promises he promised me. And so what he says here, I put that verse in so you would understand God does not lie. You don't have to worry about it. He's not like a man or the son of man. He's going to change his mind on anything that he has promised. Look at it. Look at Isaiah. I have Isaiah 48. Look what it says. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands what? Sometimes? How long? Forever. Stands forever. And because God doesn't lie, he can be trusted. He can be trusted. Don't worry. He can be trusted on what he says. It says, the verse says, people are compared here to grass and flowers that wither away. We're mortal, but God's word is eternal and unfailing. Public opinion changes and is unreliable, but God's word is constant. Only in God's eternal word will you find, and I find, lasting solutions to our problems. Doesn't say they're all going away, but we have solutions to them. I was thinking, what if I don't walk it again? What if I never get out of here? And I go, that's a bad thought. I was thinking, but I go, is that God's will? Because you know what the ultimate healing is, don't you? I get to go home and see him. And I start to think, you know what? That's not really a bad thing, is it? It's a win-win if I stay here. And if I don't, it's a win-win situation because I go to be with the Lord. What is the problem? Except I did want relief from the pain. I'll be honest with you. Who wants to, if you knew that pain, you would not want to be in it. But I didn't get relief. So I go into God's word and I find some relief. Not from the pain. We'll talk about it later, what's found in God's word. So he says, God's word is constant. I could bank on that. I remember when I first came to the Lord, and the Lord said, I got you. You're mine forever. It's eternal. You'll never lose it. And I was like, okay. But that's all I had. I didn't have the assurance that I was going to be healed or the assurance I was going to get. I had the assurance that God would be with me, and I have his word. That's the assurance I had. And it was enough. That's enough. Look at what Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. What does it say? Through encouragement of the scriptures. Do you know how important the word of God is to believers? It's your only lifeline. When everything else goes down, it will never go down. And it doesn't mean, as I say, everything will come out right. But you have encouragement from the scriptures. That's why I say it is foundation to our hope. The knowledge of the scripture affects our attitude toward the present and the future. The more we know about what God has done in the past, the greater our confidence will be what he will do in the days ahead. So you want to diligently read and study the word of God. You have confidence that God's will is the best you can have. Not an easy life, but it's the right life. If you know, when they told me I got saved, all my problems would go away, I said, oh, don't ever say that to people. They had me, you've heard me say it, I was on the cruise line to the kingdom. But it's not. I was really on a toothpick and a typhoon. Because I went up and down and up and down, had a conscience then, see, not the same. But the best. If I did it all the same way, all the hardships and up and down. I call it riding a roller coaster. And you ride, and you go around the corner, the track's out. I go, Lord, you're going to have to help me jump the track. Or I'm going to crash, but you're still going to sustain me because his word never fails. Now, number two, let's look at this. God's word comfort us in affliction. Isaiah 41:10. Notice that the psalmist doesn't say, you comfort me after my affliction. That's not what he says. His comfort exists in the middle of suffering. And I said this before, God does not always remove affliction or trouble immediately, but he provides comfort while we endure it. While we endure it. The believer's greatest comfort is not in the absence of trouble or suffering, but in the presence of God and the certainty of his word and promises. Do you understand that? That's what God wanted me to know. Mike, I'm with you. Though I'm not going to heal you like you want, I'm with you. And let me show you this. The verses, it's unbelievable. I said, in the two verses? I got all that out of the two verses. Isaiah 41:10, this is what it says. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In those verses, there's a whole nother three-point sermon. Just let me give it to you real quick. You don't need to fear because, one, God is with you. Amen? Has he ever left? Anybody here been walking with Jesus Christ for a time knows that God is with you all the time. Even when you don't understand where he's at, he's always there. He never leaves you. Number two, he says, God has established a relationship with us. I am your God. Who established it? God. I didn't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He kicked the door in on my heart and he quickened me and said, you're mine. I chose you when? Before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, he chose me. And he said, you didn't have nothing to do with that. I did that. I established a relationship with you. And if you're born again in here, he did the same thing for you. You didn't establish the relationship. He established it with you. What a great comfort that is. And it had nothing to do with me. My righteousness, how good I was. Because I wasn't. I don't have any righteousness. God does what? He gives me his righteousness. I said this before. We were in a parade and they had this tank, Abram's tank. It looked good, except for one problem. It was made out of tin foil. And I go, that looks like it. You go up to it, punch it, go in. It had no power of its own to do anything, but it looked good. And I said, it will not work in a fight. God established the relationship with me based on nothing from me. And I go, amen. Because you know what? If it was based on me, I wouldn't have had salvation 2 seconds. I'd have lost it. But here's the good thing. So would you. You wouldn't have been able to keep it. It's impossible. And so God says, I'm with you. And he says, I will, in that same verse, I will uphold you with my righteous hand. It says God's gifts and promises are what? Irrevocable. They don't go away. So I'm in the nursing home, I'm being encouraged by God's word, even though I'm not getting a whole lot of help. I had a guy out there, came, you know him, Dwayne, he came every day I was in the hospital, couldn't get rid of the brother. And you know what happened? I forgot about the pain. We were laughing, and we were going through scripture. Pastor came out to see me, people come out to see me, and I still couldn't get out of bed. They were giving me pain medication at night that didn't really help. And when they were gone, I was crying. I was in that much pain. And I said, Lord, I don't know. One thing I praise God that I was born in this time period when they have medication. Because I don't know how they would have took that kind of pain when there was no medication or relief. It kicked it down a little bit. But I said, how did these people do that? So I praise God for the doctors, for being born in this time, even though I'm in that pain. Now look what it says here. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that when we be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by who? God. And where does that come from? It comes from his word. So I had a choice. Do I allow affliction and trouble to drive me away from God or to God's word? So I said, I'm going to let suffering push me deeper to God's word. I shared that with my wife about this verse. But we didn't go into deepness. She was working. And the only person I was talking to was Dwayne, because he stayed there 8 or 9 hours a day, every day. And we had a good time. He thought I was hurting, but we had a good time laughing. He encouraged me through the scriptures. He said, well, Mike, I don't see a downside of you going home. And I said, thanks, Dwayne. Nothing says the love of Jesus like that. But it was true. And I said, I'll make sure when if I go before you, I'll have a little talk with the world. When you get there, we're going to have a little talk. Just my stupid sense of humor. But it was good. It was encouraging. It was encouraging to have another brother. To have you know, some of y'all sent a lot of cards. Some of y'all talked to me. So it was great to have encouragement from church family. There is nothing like church family people. Better than my own family. Better than my brothers and sisters. I got you guys. Y'all don't know how much that means to me. That in times of suffering, not only do I have the word of God, but I have my church family. Very important. People don't want to come. People don't want to do, I don't know how they stand it, to make it in a church and not be close to the family. Because you know what? There's other people in here that suffered more than I have and was encouraging me. That's a good thing to have. So don't let affliction do that to you. Look what it says in, 1950. It says this. Let me go this way. God's promises give me life. God's word promises to give life. You understand that? He promised to give me life. The phrase gives me life there means that God's promises revives, sustains, and strengthens the believer. His promises or his word strengthens us, sustains us, gets us out. Maybe not your body, but your soul. Look what he says. I wrote it down. Look what it says. Psalm 19:7. Check it out. What does it say? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Do you understand? It renewed my strength. It renewed my hope, even if I don't get out of there. I remember I've never been that sick or in that pain. And when I had the neck surgery, they found out it was my neck, not my back. And they said, Mike, I don't know how you're walking around 2 years with that accident. You could have been paralyzed. He said, your spine is laying up against this. And he goes, we got to do a surgery on your neck right away or you could become paralyzed. You could be riding in a car, get in an accident, the bag that went off. He said, it either cripple you or kill you. So I didn't know. He said, you fall? And I go, yeah, I fell twice doing my neighbor's walkway. He said, you fell? I go, yeah. I slipped in the ice. I went up like I was going over a high jump bar and I didn't hit my head. He said, it's a wonder, you're still walking. I said, it has to be the Lord on that. Because I didn't even know that. But he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. Okay, it revives my soul. I remember, like I say, not being of having any kind of pain or like this. And in the neck surgery, they went in the back of my head and took out a bone and all this. We were over at the doctor Thursday, and they said, Mike, you're doing real good. We're going to release you from all your restrictions. So we're standing there with the nurse, and my wife goes, so when's the lobotomy scheduled? And I was like, nothing says the love of God like that. And so I told her, as soon as they get done with yours. She's getting a sense of humor like me, which is bad. So my daughter, they got this drug, and I'll just show you, the Dilaudin. I've never heard of it. It's a miracle from God. My daughter had two surgeries, and her sense of humor is like mine. And she told me, I said, oh. She said, Dad, I was on Dilaudin. She goes, I was so high, I was higher than Jesus. And she said, I saw Jesus, and I wanted to talk to him, but I just kept going higher. And I started laughing. I said, you're crazy. And so after I had the surgery, I said, well, Gentile, I did not see Jesus, but I did leave the Milky Way. And she goes, Dad, you're crazy. And I go, thank goodness for that drug. And I'm like, wow. They had a little green box. You know, you press on the green button. I just held on to it. I never let it go. And then I said, can I take some of this home with me? Well, they wouldn't let me do it. Pastor came out and talked to me. I have no idea what I said to him. I could barely see him. My daughter was in the room. And you know what she said? Dad, I didn't know you did all that stuff. And I go, what did I asked the pastor, am I still on the elder board? Because that's how, but it's good. It's a good thing. It's from the Lord. It's a good thing. And so it says, but I was revived from the word, from the scripture. Look what it says, that it promises to give life. John 6:63. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help. The words that I have spoken to you are life. Do you understand that? The word of God is life. It's active. It's living. It's alive. It's not like any other book written. People said, it's an ancient book written by men. I said, it's penned by men, but God is the author of it. 2 Timothy 3:16, what it says, all scripture is God-breathed. 2 Peter says, no scripture came about by private interpretation. It's by the word of God. It can be trusted. It is good for all of us. When we get in trouble, the more you know, the more you'll be. The more you understand it. So, I'm going to shut down right now. Hebrews 4:12. It says this, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and to discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's how tough God's word is. And if you read all of Psalms 119, whatever was going on in that man's life, he was under duress. I saw two things wrong, maybe spiritual, but I know one thing for sure. People were working his last nerve. And he was like, Lord, help me. And where was he going? You'll see him refer to the word of God over and over and over and over to where his help was coming from. And so I say that to you. In just these two verses, I'm going to conclude. In just these two verses, the scripture, we learn three powerful truths. We learn three powerful truths. God's word produces hope. God's word provides comfort. And God's word gives life. And let me say this. This is your only hope, people. This is when things go wrong and might not get right. I was thinking about the people in the congregation who are sick. We've lost a lot of people, widows, widowers. We've lost a lot of people. We got people in the hospital who are sick. I'm out at the hospital visiting people. The congregation, you know, some of us are older. Some of you young parishioners may not yet have experienced this, but I guarantee you sometime in your life you're going to experience it. Where will your hope come from? Where will you be sustained from? It's going to be from the word of God. It's our only hope, people. Not only that, it will last forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's about all I can say to you, because all I got for you is the word of God. You're going to come and ask me a question, I'm going to tell you, here's what the word says. This is all I know. This is what God has done for me. When I heard the word of God, when I was saved, I was saved in the church. The pastor came up and read Romans 10:9. And when I never been in church, never heard the word of God, parents weren't religious, you know that story. And when I heard that, I like what King James said. I was quickened. Do you understand that? Boom! God kicked the door in, and I'm so glad he did. I began to live then. Harder life, but the best life. And I plan to go all the way until I see the Lord. My hope is that you here at this church, in this local body, we've been through a lot together over the years. We went up and down and up and down. But who sustained us the whole time? Was it not our God? What is not our God that sustains us now? Is it, will it not be our God that will sustain us in the future? And I say, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word can be trusted in our lives, even when things don't go like we expect them to. Father, I pray your blessings on our congregation. To the people who are not here, Father, to the people who might be in nursing homes, they've been going through surgery, I just thank you. For people that might be shut in, that cannot get out, Father, your word is what will sustain them and us. And we just thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.